So the scripture lesson is from Matthew, it's chapter 3, verses 1 through, chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their prayers broad and their fingers long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Not are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." And so it's practice what you preach. And so the very first thing he's saying, because if you kind of remember how we got here, there's a lot of conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders. They are really trying to discredit, I talked about that last week, denounce him. But he's been kind of critical of their behavior. But in this case here, he's saying, you know what? What your Pharisees and Sadducees tell you is correct. And that's what you should do. So the Ten Commandments, if everything follows that, they're basically two principles. One is reverence to God, if you go through them and think about them. The other is respect for our parents. And so he wants all of us to know that all of this teaching that the religious leaders are doing is good. Now, here's where he kind of gets a little bit away from them. So they had lots of rules. And he's not saying rules of themselves are bad. The question is, what do the rules do? Do the rules help lift you up, or do the rules bring you down? Do they keep you from having a right relationship with God? And that's what he's really saying. How are the rules affecting you individually? Do they help you become closer to the Lord? Do they keep you from having a close relationship with the Lord? And so he says, yeah, they're really good at telling you all these rules. They're just not very good at following them. And then he kind of gives you a couple indications. So on their wrist, for a Jewish person, a rabbi, they would have a little box. And in that box, there's four separate scriptures. And that was pretty common, that people would wear them. What Jesus is concerned about here is people wore big boxes because they wanted everybody to see how religious they were. And then he talks about the tassels on their, it used to be you just wore tassels on an outer garment. That's kind of where prayer shawls came with tassels on them. It was really to remind you of God's commandments. That was originally what it was set for. Well, what Jesus said in this time, the religious leaders made their tassels really long so you'd know how pious they were. So you knew how important they were. And so when you go to a meal, do you try to be first in line or last or in the middle? Somebody has to answer the question. Middle, last, okay. I like to be last because I don't like to be in crowds much. As whatever I can do to be out of the crowd. So everybody has a thing. Well, what he was saying was the religious leaders want to be the most important. So if you were at a meeting that you're eating, the most important people sat not only at the front, but they sat at the front where they were facing out to the crowd. That would be the most important seat. And so he's saying these religious leaders not only want to be in the front, they want to be way in the front so everybody knows how important they are. And just so you know, the lessers, whatever those were, people that weren't as important, and children always had to sit way in the back. And that was kind of the way. So the more in front you were, the more important you were. And then he talks about, then the rabbi would talk about who was more important, them or your parents. Now, they would say they were more important because they are going to teach you how to live a life after you're on the earth. Parents really teach you how to live your life on the earth. So from their point of view, they were more important. But the real issue here is, what were they really trying to do? Were they trying to explain to you how God, for most, since they were Jewish, it would be God, Jesus for us, how we were supposed to be led through life by God and His Spirit? Is that the most important thing? Or were they the most important thing? Were they the most important thing? And so if you see someone and it's all about them, how great they are, how wonderful they are, what they're doing to show you how wonderful and great they are, then what he's saying is that's really a false religion. It's not true. So how many of you have ever watched somebody on TV that does messages and sermons? And there's lots of people and there's different kinds. And you know, you watch some of them and you think, I think that person really believes what they say. And they're doing it for the right reasons. And I've already talked to you guys about Joseph Prince before, who I think he's just doing it for the money. It seems to me, maybe not. But for when I watch him, it's all about him. And that's really what Jesus is talking about in this message. Is the person that's in front of you trying to lead you to a better life in God through Jesus, are they about that? Are they about them? Now, since I don't work at the bank anymore, I watch some really weird TV shows. And so this week, there's one that's called Very Scary. It's about real people that done really bad things. And there are a couple of them who've done really bad things that were one time religious leaders of really large congregations. And one of them I was watching this week was about Jim Jones. And I remember when that happened, and I think there was 900 people ended up being killed or so. And so how do you go from a person that started like in Indianapolis, I mean, he was from Indiana, he was like from Richmond area, Centerville, somewhere over there. How do you get a person that started at a small church that ended up with over 1,000 people at one time following him to a different country, and then it ends up in such a complete disaster? So what one time was he a real religious leader who followed Jesus? And he just got way off track, beyond way off track? Or was he always false, a false leader, and he was just able to get people to follow him? And we don't always know that about people. Some people that I thought were really great and wonderful people, later on in their lives did things that I just couldn't believe they would do. One of them, one time somebody said, you know, so-and-so's in trouble because of this. And I said, I can't believe that's true. Because I thought I knew him. And we don't always know people. We think we know them, but we don't always know them. So no matter who you're following, who you listen to for your guidance, whether it's someone you read or someone you listen to, you need to make sure they're not, and I've said this before, they're not saying the prophecy of Ed, because Ed's prophecy really isn't any good. It's what I can tell you that God's working through me to share with you. When you read someone's book, make sure it's a book that is leading you in the right direction. You don't want to be led in this false prophet, false religion areas. And so then at the end of this, there's really two things he wants us to know. The rabbis, so pastors, religious leaders, whoever that is, aren't really the real teacher. Real teachers, Jesus Christ. So what I'm supposed to do is listen to what the Lord is telling me that needs to be shared, and then I'm trying to share it with you in a way that you can understand. And I hope that I do that every week. I know that some weeks I probably don't, because some weeks I'm worried that I don't understand what I'm trying to say, but I feel like that's what I'm supposed to say that week. And the other thing he tells us here is that God is our Father. Now, I know sometimes now in the current times we live in, people get all bound up for gender and stuff. And so if you want to think as God is not your father, but your mother, whatever, I don't care. God is the supreme being over all. He created everything. So whatever, however you visualize that, that's what you need to visualize. It's not so important that God represents your father, whoever your father was, but God is all of our leaders, all of our fathers. He does everything for us. He makes everything available for us. So as we start our communion service today, a couple things I'd like for you to think about. Make sure that whatever God direction God is leading you in, that's what you're doing. And anything you're doing to prepare yourself, and as we come closer to Advent, I'll talk about this preparation more and more, are you getting yourself ready for the coming of the Lord? Because that's our responsibility. It's my responsibility to help you, to encourage you. It's all of our responsibility to help and encourage all of us. So let's begin with prayer today of confession and pardon. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not loved all our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, all of us are forgiving. The Lord be with you and also with us. Lift up our hearts. We lift them all up to the Lord. We give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed in us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You never deserted us when we deserted you. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, spoke to us through your prophets, and so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to announce that your time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power and the word of your Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful that, again, we have the freedom that we are able to come together and worship this day. Be with all of us as we go out into your world to share the gospel, the good news that you give us each and every day with all those neighbors that we come in contact with. Whether it's the first time they're a neighbor, the 100th time they're a neighbor, let us not be shy about sharing your good news with all that we come in contact with. Amen.